Shai. It's amazing. We were sitting in an elders meeting, I don't know, months ago it was, and Pastor Dave had mentioned that this was the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's nailing the thesis on the church doors. And Tim said, well, there's five solas, why don't each of us take a turn? And that's what ended up happening. And I remember when we were dividing out which pastor would have which sola, I said, well, I'll just sit back. You guys are busy. You got Adam preaches here, does these other things. And then I landed on Solus Christus. And the weight of that has really hit me this week. Christ alone. I would encourage you to join me and open your Bibles to John 14:6. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. So we have Scripture alone, grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone, for the glory of God alone. Five simple gospel truths. So simple you can explain them to a five-year-old and they can understand them. Yet these are truths that are so deep, one could spend an entire lifetime unearthing the treasures within the details. Deep, 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 simple gospel truths. Pastor Robin brought us sola scriptura, scripture alone. Pastor Tim brought us sola gratia, grace alone. In the sola, I have the profound responsibility, yet great honor to bring today is solus Christus, Christ alone. Where these five solas came from has been well documented, as Pastor Dave gave an introduction before we began the five solas. And Pastors Robin and Tim gave some background as well. For me, well, we'll just say I have a love-hate relationship with history. I love to read about it, and I love to hear about it, and I love to learn about it, but I can't remember names or dates or locations. Shoop, just gone. But I can tell you this about Christ alone. Luther and Zwingli actually, were reformers who discovered this. It was enlightened to them, and they proclaimed this truth during a very, very, very dark and deceptive time during the church history. But I have to say this, they are not originators of this truth. God is. God is the originator, and he proclaimed it 2,200 years before the reformers did by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Isaiah writes, prophesies, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. 1,500 years before the reformers came, Luke says this, an angel proclaims, and the angel said before them, fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then John the Baptist in John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you may be saying, ah, but Fred, what about this alone stuff? Where is that? The truth of Christ being the only way, Christ alone, starts with Jesus. As Jesus says in our passage, John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Christ alone. And to the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of highly priestly family, Peter says this to them in Acts 4, 11 and 12. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, Christ alone. And we have Paul writing to a young pastor named Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, 5. Paul writes this to Timothy. For there is one God, there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ, Jesus, Christ alone. The truth that reconciliation with God is in Christ alone comes from God. The Reformers were men who were graced by God with amazing insight and persistence and determination and courage in Christ. And the church has benefited greatly throughout history because of them. And I praise and thank God for heroes of the faith like Luther and Calvin, but they were men just like you and me. The main thing I praise God for out of that time period was God was beginning to give his written word in a common language to the common people. And the result today is we have it in our laps. We don't have to rely on a pope or a cardinal or anyone else to tell us what is written in a book in a language that we can't understand. Now we can read it for ourselves, and Christ alone is in there. It is in here. Oh, we praise God. The scriptures open to us, to you and to me. We can see that it's in there. Grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone, for the glory of God alone is in there, and we can see it for ourselves. Last week, Pastor Tim showed us that grace alone is in here. Grace is freely given, but grace is costly. And grace alone challenges each and every one of us to consider the sovereign grace of God. The glorious reality that God loves us because God loves us. Grace alone, the truth of grace alone does not allow for us to think for one moment that we had anything to do with seeing the simple truth of Christ alone in Scripture. It is by God's grace who opens our hearts and our eyes to see this truth. It is only by God's grace that I see my sin, that I sense my sin. It's only by his grace that I have a deep conviction of my sin against God and that I am guilty before a holy, righteous God. And I will experience his wrath. It is by God's grace alone that his Spirit convicts me in this way. But then, oh, by the amazing grace of God, he opens my eyes to see Christ. He alone is what I need. He is the amazing, grace-filled manifestation of the love of God for me. Today I will preach on Christ alone. It is in Scripture. It is in here. It is simple truth. But we need God's grace to see it, to truly see it and experience this truth. So let's pray now for God to lavish us with his grace. Father, we come into your word now, and we literally sit at the feet of Jesus with this simple, single passage. And I do pray, Father, for your grace and your mercy upon each and every one of us in this room, Father, that we may see Jesus, that we may see what he has accomplished for us, and it is only through faith in him that we can have a relationship with you and be with you forever. Please, Father, I pray, I plead with you to do this in us, in the power of your Spirit and your word. In Jesus' name. Christ alone. The five solas are really five core truths about how to be reconciled with God. Sin is a big problem. We have all sinned and we are dead spiritually, destined to experience God's wrath in eternal punishment, separated from Him forever. Scripture alone is where we find the solution, because only our Creator, who we have sinned against, can provide us the solution. The five solas are core truths about the good news from God, because only our Creator can tell us. There is a way to be reconciled to God and to experience His love forever. This is the gospel. This is the good news that God has given us. So how? How are we saved? We are saved by that good news. We are saved through the gospel of God. Paul tells us in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Why, Paul? For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The power of God in salvation for everyone who believes. Not my power, not your power, not the power of popes or cardinals or priests or pastors or councils. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. This is what Luther discovered, and it changed his life forever. And to this day, it has been used by God to shape our churches, churches just like Country Bible Church. It is the gospel. The answer is the gospel for those who are dead in sin. And look at our passage in John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the answer. And Scripture clearly, 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 and unashamedly reveals Christ Jesus our Lord is the only answer. Christ alone. There is nothing and no one that can save us except faith in Christ. So my first take and my first thought on Christ alone is I want to place faith and Christ together. I have a hard time separating them. Because whenever I think of Christ alone, I think of faith alone. It is right there. And really, there's grace as well. So we'll have like 1A, 1B, and 1C. God's grace brings the reality of faith in Christ. God's grace brings about the reality of faith in Christ. Christ alone. Christ alone says, Christ alone is the revelation of the grace and the object of the faith. Christ alone has to be the object of the faith. Everybody believes something. And the simple truth is God's good news says that the object of your faith has to be Christ. I am looking forward to Pastor Adam's message next week which will focus on faith alone. This week we are focusing on the object of that faith, Christ. Everyone believes something. Most are believing their way straight to hell. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the way to the Father. No one comes except through Him. How often do you hear the comment, I believe there are many ways to God? Or you see the bumper sticker that says coexist. You know that one? Where the letters are formed by a bunch of different religious symbols. I actually went on Amazon, was almost going to buy one to bring here to show you, but I didn't want to waste my money. While I was looking at him, though, I saw a similar one with the same religious symbols on it. And this one said, though, tolerance. Or how about life with God is like the wheel with spokes, and they all lead into the same place. So, you know, there's so many different ways, and they all lead to the same place. Christ alone is good news because salvation is in him. But make no mistake about it, Christ alone is offensive to a lost and deceived world. It's offensive. Why Christ alone? Why Christ alone? How can I stand up here and proclaim and preach this intolerant and offensive truth? Well, first of all, God proclaims it. Thus saith the Lord, my Son is the way, my Son is the truth, my Son is the life. No one comes to me except through him. Believe God. Believe God. The angel says, I bring you good news of great joy. God proclaims it, and that should be enough for his creation. But out of his mercy and his goodness and his love for us, he explains it. There are many ways we could go about this. It would take a month of Sundays to even get at a level of depth that I'm accustomed to trying to go to. So here's how we're going to do it today. We'll break down what Jesus is saying in this passage, and we'll keep it simple. So, Jesus says, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we're going to look at Jesus as the way, the truth, the life, and what that leads to. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and what that leads to. So first, the way. Jesus is the way. So if we're talking about spokes on the wheel, then Jesus is this unique spoke. There is none like him. Unique because of who he is and what he has accomplished. He is the only begotten Son of God, born of a virgin, who lived the sinless life. Christ alone is that Son that lived that life. Jesus is unique because of what he accomplished by the death he died and the wrath of God he experienced, which reconciles us to God. Nobody else died and experienced God's wrath for you. Christ alone humbled himself all the way to the cross. Jesus is unique because of what he accomplished by the resurrection from the dead, which gives us victory over death and guarantees our eternal life. Christ alone died and rose again, and we will rise with him. Jesus is unique because of who he is and what he accomplished. Though we were dead and enslaved in our trespasses and sin against God, Jesus is the way. Listen now, because of his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, Jesus is our propitiation. Jesus is our atonement. Jesus is our substitute. In Christ alone, we are reconciled to God. We are delivered from the domain of darkness. In Christ alone, we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. We are redeemed and justified. In Christ alone, we have no condemnation. We have imputed righteousness. We have boldness and access to God. In Christ alone, because of who Jesus is and what Jesus did, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are brought near to God. We are free to love and serve him. We are in the process of sanctification. Because of who Jesus is and what he did, we are guaranteed inheritance. We are guaranteed eternal life. We are full of hope. In Christ alone, we are not guilty before God, and we are forgiven by him. We will be glorified with Christ, live and worship and enjoy our God forever. Jesus is the way. He is the only way. No one has ever lived the life he lived, died the death he died. No one else rose to sit at the right hand of God. Okay, so let's go through each of those one at a time. Or we could quickly go through two. Packers don't play till next Monday night, so we've got plenty of time. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the way because of two basic, simple realities. In Him, in Christ Jesus our Lord, we are not guilty before God, and we are forgiven by God. One speaks to the legal aspect, and the other speaks to the emotional, the heart of God. Legal first, listen to Romans 3, 23 and 24. Verses we are all probably familiar with. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Sinners justified by grace through redemption in Christ. Sinners, all of us, sinners against a holy God. We are guilty before God in the courts of heaven. Guilty. All of us, we must pay the penalty. We must experience the judgment and the wrath of God. But Jesus says, I am the way. I lived a sinless life and went to the cross for you. Your sin was placed upon me, and I bore the wrath of God on your behalf. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And now, because we have redemption in Christ Jesus, we are justified. God's wrath was poured out on Jesus for us, for propitiation for us, for you. You are not guilty, and God forgives you. Jesus paid the penalty and took God's wrath for you and for me. We are justified, and we are declared not guilty. Christ alone offers this truth to those who believe. But not guilty doesn't mean forgiven. God's law has been satisfied, but what about God's mindset and His heart towards us? Ephesians 1:7. In Him, in Jesus, in Christ, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. We have sinned against God. But Jesus says, I am the way. My blood was shed for you. You are not guilty, and God forgives you. God forgives you. Jesus' blood has cleansed us of our sin, and we are forgiven. God sees us in Christ, and it is as though we have never sinned. God sees us in Christ, and it is as though we have never sinned. We are not guilty, and we are forgiven. Christ alone offers this truth to those who believe. Jesus says, I am the way. He is the only spoke on the wheel that lived and died and was raised for you. And because Jesus is the way, then clearly He is what? The truth. The truth. If you want to think about spokes, He is the true spoke. Let's look now at Jesus being the truth. So if you consider the gospel, it is by grace through faith you have been saved in Christ alone. Why? Why is Christ alone the truth? Because He is the way. He is the only way. He came from heaven to live on the earth for you. Jesus lived a sinless life for you. He prayed in agony in the garden and submitted to the will of the Father for you. He endured the cross for you. Brothers and sisters, you are the joy that was set before Him. And because He did these things, He is the truth. He is truly the way to God. For by grace you have been saved by faith in whom? Christ. You cannot place anything or anyone else in the gospel except Christ. He is the truth. If you put anything or anyone else in his place, then you don't have the truth. In fact, it is deception and a lie, and it is a false gospel. God says there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under God given among men by which we must be saved. God says there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is the truth, and God proclaims it, and the Holy Spirit bears witness to it. The unpardonable sin is not believing that the truth is Jesus, because not believing truth is not believing God, and not believing God is calling God a liar regarding the loving sacrifice of his Son for his enemies. And be warned, dying in this sin results in eternal punishment because God will not have his Son crucified again. Christ alone. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth. Now let's look at Jesus being the life. Find your way quickly to 1 Peter if you want. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This is pretty simple, really. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, so Jesus is the light. But what is life? Yes, amen. This is obviously the opposite of death, spiritual death we have because of sin. We are dead in our sin. Jesus gives us life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. God through Peter says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. This is life. We have been comparing the way to life as spokes on a wheel. We're talking about eternal life here, or death, separated from God and experiencing his wrath forever. This is not about driving a car or a wheel. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and he finishes with, and so will we, no one comes to the Father except through me, Christ alone. A couple of quick truths and we'll be done. No one comes to the Father but through me. The spokes on the worldly analogy wheel, all they do is lead to one place. They do lead to one place. The lake of fire. They lead to hell. I can't think of a better analogy than the one Jesus gives in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. I'm sure you've heard this. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. Jesus is the only way, because if there was another way, do you really think God would have sent his Son to be tortured and murdered? Really? To think that way would make God out to be a sadistic fool. This is not mechanical. Jesus is a real man. Jesus is God in human flesh, really experiencing these horrible injustices
for us. Solus Christus would tend to be a theological and a doctrinal and a logical argument of truth from the Word of God, and it should be all of those. But make no mistake about it, we cannot take out the emotions. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Love. Love. Love is the active, is active, and Jesus acted, but it is the emotion that motivated this amazing sacrifice for us. God loved us, and Jesus was the manifestation of that love. If God did not love us, then he would not have sent his Son, and we would be dead in our sin, destined for hell. But now, in Christ alone, we are his children. And God is our Father because of his love. In Scripture, we see it is God's love for us that motivates. And we see then God's power at work, beginning with grace. He has mercy on us, and he pours out his grace towards his people, grace to see our sin. And we stand there dead in our hopeless state. And then it is God's grace that opens our hearts and convicts us, and we see Christ. And we behold the face of Christ. And God's grace gives us faith. And we believe in Christ and we are saved, and everything changes as we are given life. And our hearts now cry out, "Abba, Father." Our God is our Father. There is no end to the riches of his grace toward us. It is with us forever. Those God foreknew, God loved, and God called to be glorified with Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is in Christ alone who saves. Solus Christus. Let's pray together. Father, we have looked at this truth, and I pray that each of us sees Jesus. Through your word and the power of your Holy Spirit and by your grace,